Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in His presence and the Spirit starts to soar. Flying, I'm mounting up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father clear all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust Him in me, but when things get worse, my hope in You, my strength is in You. I don't know a little more about You. How the world changed and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boys, young girls trying to save yours, but who will teach them when the older ones won't go? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. When I'm down in my spirit and the need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation, turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek up the Spirit, so I'm a spirit for man, and if I turn away from that, it's just more temptation. I'm tired of this body, man, it's tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is in You, my strength is in You. I want to know a little more about You. As the world changes and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boy, young girl, trying to save joy. But who will teach them when the whole world won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by You. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a messy world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God, yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't hear another preacher preach, I know the way and that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus, hope is in You. My friend is in You. But teach me how to know a little more. I humble myself before you. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh my hope is in You, my strength is in You. Teach me how to know a little more about You. Jesus, I humble myself before You. Yes, I humble myself before You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You.
The Lord will be with you today. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. All right, well, good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, and it is a pleasure to be back here with you again this week. We would like to thank you for tuning in to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Tonight, we have Pastor Steve Lee, and he's going to be bringing forth a powerful teaching on purpose promotes power and produces peace. As always, I do encourage all those who are out there listening to grab pen and paper and take some serious notes. That way we can have some commentary after tonight's teaching is done. And then you can also join us here in the room as well, if you would like to. But without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started. Pastor Steve, you now have the mic.
Amen. And thank you, Brother Mike. And Happy New Year to you and everybody. And I want you to prepare your hearts to enjoy, explore, and employ the mercies of God afresh this year. Let's just pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask You to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes and I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. That healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, God kind of woke me up with a passage of scripture that just ignited my spirit. And I'm going to try to dig back into that. You know, some of the things that the Father will do as we try to reproduce them, they can't be reproduced. They can be enjoyed afresh, but it's a living word, beloved. So then the life that was in it when I needed it, I try to convey that to you, and you can get additional. You can get additional life from it. Because what you need was not what I needed. See, what we all need to do is to push into the purpose of God. The title for today is Purpose Promotes Power and Produces Peace. And then when I looked at this, that is the number of grace just in the P's. Purpose promotes power, produces peace. Five P's, which would be the number of grace. And that's where we are called to function in. We are those that should function in the grace of God. And when I understand the grace of God correctly, the will of God will not take me where the grace of God cannot take me. So then I should be comfortable, and we must become comfortable in the purpose that God has for us. You know, last year, beloved, if you wrestled with God and the purposes and things that he was asking you to do, what I would like for you to do this year, as you start this year, this calendar year, I would like you to surrender to God. God only has your best at heart, period. He is so in love with you and trying to equip you to win so that you will be prepared to live in his presence. If you don't know how to live by faith, love by faith, walk by faith now, beloved, you don't get to go to the place where faith abides forever. You know, I was saying to someone yesterday, they were talking about God and brought a description. And one of the descriptions that I understood is he abideth faithful, or he lives in the place where faith is. He abides there. So then it would behoove us to learn how to live by, how to love by, how to function by faith. And if we're going to function by faith, we then would know that our faith worketh by love. So if I'm not willing to love in the year 2019, if I'm not willing to forgive, then I can just dismiss the faith that I want to have work in this earth, in any situation. See, you are called. Jesus said that you're supposed to be known by your love one for another. So he just gave you your purpose. Your purpose is to love. Owe no man anything but to love him. I need to just resolve that in your heart, in your thinking, in your motivation now, so that we can prepare for the exceedingly abundantly above all that God wants to do.
you do recognize that the exceedingly abundantly above only works by the power that's in us. And the power that he wants to be in us is love. Why would he want love, the power that's in us, to be the thing that's sin? Because love never fails. Purpose promotes power, and it produces peace. Okay, we're going to kind of see some of those things happen in the life of Jesus. We're going to see some of those things happen in the life of the disciples, those that have committed their heart to God. Because through love, he does things that are flat out impossible. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Or with love, nothing is impossible. That's how important love is in this thing. So let's just get that out the way. As you turn to the calendar on a new year, release everybody for everything starting now. Just get that out the way, beloved. Because if we don't, then Jesus said, if you don't forgive, don't even bother to pray. Because your Father, who's in heaven, won't forgive you of your sins. He said, when you stand praying, that's Mark 11, chapter 22 and following to 26. It says, as you stand praying, forgive. If you don't bother by praying. God is wanting to do things through you. The only way he can do things for you, beloved, is when you allow him to do things through you. Your heart is the gate for your life. Proverbs chapter 4 says that guard your heart with all diligence, starting in verse 21 and following. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So that if I don't guard my heart or protect my heart with love, beloved, I'm just trying to get you to see this. If I surround myself, protect myself with love, and love has 13 conditions that it doesn't allow. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay? And you'll find out that I cannot harbor unforgiveness and think love is even present. Love does not take an account of things that were done to it, okay? Love does not think ill. Okay, that's just the way love is. So I'm trying to get you to find that place and let that place be the position that your heart abides, because now out of that position, the issues of life flow. Glory to God. In 2019, beloved, I don't want you to live on the drips of grace. Oh, that sounds good, sir. I don't want you to live on the drips of his grace. I want you to live in the flow of his love. Somebody can write that down. In fact, that's a song. That's really good. I'm growing tired of living in the drips of his grace. I will now live in the flow of his love. Because the flow of his love never fails. The flow of his love changes things that are around me. The flow of his love makes all things work together for my good. Why should I be settling for drips, glimpses of glory, when I've been called into a flow of love? Purpose promotes power and produces peace. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, the people that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. I'm looking for your life to go to a new height. I'm asking for your life to go to deeper depths. You know, it's almost impossible to go up if you don't first go down. You look at a tree. And all of that you see above ground, please know that there is a matching supply under the ground, because the support for all that you see has to be in place. If I don't have deep structure, if I don't have deep roots, then the word doesn't work effectively. Remember Mark chapter 4 teaches us that the people heard the word and they were happy about it, but because they had no depth of earth, it says the sun came up and it scorched it, and they could not endure but for a while. So then you're going to have to, this is just good. This is not even in the message. This is just coming out. You're going to have more love in reserve than we have on display. I'll say that again. We have to begin to have more love in reserve than we have on display. And when I say in reserve, I'm not saying holding it back. I'm saying it is there upon demand. It's in reserve. We have a place here in America that we call the National Reserve, okay? It is the place where the money is housed, that if there is a draw that is necessary, they can draw it on the National Reserve Bank, okay? So we have to begin to live by having more in reserve than we have on display. Because sometimes you know it and I know it, that we will allow love to be seen by those we think deserve it. But see, I have to have more in reserve, or that's there on demand. Please know this, that the people that are around you, that are in your life, they have the right to make demand on the love of God that has been shed abroad in your heart. Because we are supposed to be fruitful. Fruit is produced in the root of the tree. Fruit is not produced on the branches of the tree. Fruit is displayed on the branches of the tree because the root has produced it. Purpose promotes power and produces peace. Okay. So I just want you to kind of begin to think afresh this year. Okay, this is the first Monday that I've had a chance to be with you, and so I'm just getting some of these things out of the way, that we're going to have to learn to dig deep into love. And that's not a grievous thing. That is a great time of exploration. I was just praying, and God reminded me that we're supposed to be able to sojourn in the land of promise. He's given us the right to walk about Zion, if you would. He's given us the ability to find a promise, and that promise should take us to another promise. And that promise should take us deeper into the spirit, deeper into the work of love. Why? Because we have to have more love in reserve than we have on display. See? When we do that, and people recognize that every time they come to you, they will see the love of God in manifestation. They will see frustration in your face. They will hear frustration in your voice. They will only see the display of that which is coming out of the reserve. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. If I have my issues that are correct, my issues that flow out of love, if they're correct, then I will be unstoppable in the year 2019, because love never fails. Okay? I'm trying to get you settled on that right now, up front, that the enemy is coming so that he can try to stop your flow of love, because if he stops your flow of love, the issues of life flow out of your heart. And if your heart is full of frustration, bitterness, hatred, then those will be your issues. Okay? Connect the dots, beloved. He wants us to have an abundance of love, have an abundance of mercy, so that he can cause the issues of our life to be supported by that which is at the root of our life. The outreach, the branches of the tree, okay, will be able to sustain any challenge that comes against it. Purpose promotes power and produces peace. It has been said that knowledge is power. And I have found that when we know our God and when we know our purpose, he can release his imparted power. I mean, there is power resident in his word. It's in two places. It's also resident in you when the word is in your heart. Okay? We got to begin to think from this perspective. You know, I found out a long time ago that the devil cannot initiate anything in my life. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." I'm going to open it up again. He says, the only reason that the thief is here, he cometh not but for to. Jesus said, this is it in a nutshell. He's only coming to steal, kill, destroy. He is not coming to initiate anything in your life. Okay? If you would catch that and understand that, then you will know that you already have what you need. Notice again, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He cannot steal what you do not already have. He cannot kill what is not alive on the inside of you. He cannot destroy what has not been a foundation in your life. Please understand that. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But at the same time you see him, Jesus said, but I am come. He did not say, I will come. He said, I am come. There are scriptures that I love, and one of them is that God is a jealous God, and he will not have any other gods before him. In other words, God must get there first. He has to already be resident, the thief to kill, steal, and to destroy. So then if I know that the devil is not starting something in my life, then I should say, okay, wait a minute. He's coming after something that is already in motion. There is a foundation of love on the inside of me. It has been shed abroad in my heart. So that I need to function by that love, through that love, because of that love. And as I do that, the issues of my life will become good, pleasing, and something that will draw men unto God. Because if I be lifted up, I will then draw, that's good, son. I will then draw all men unto me. So if I allow Jesus to be lifted up in my trial, the person that is bringing my trial will end up coming to Jesus. Please listen, let's hear it again. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. All men would have to include the one that is bringing the trial in my life, the one that is persecuting. It would have to, all includes all. So then if I lift Jesus up, and I allow him to be seen, he says, the one that's attacking me, he will cause him to be drawn unto him. That's just a powerful promise right there. See, if I understand my purpose is love, and purpose promotes power. It is, if you would, purpose would be the trigger release for the power that is already on the inside of you. Oh, my God. Please hear that. God is asking you to allow purpose to release your power, not to allow trials to release your power. Up until now, some of us have allowed troubles and trials to release our power. And the power that trials and trouble releases is real power. You're going to make something happen. I can make this change. I can. No, God wants you to understand purpose, because if you understand purpose, purpose then becomes the trigger for the power that God has invited you to. And the power that God invites you to always produces peace. And you know what Romans 16:20 says? It says, and the God of peace will bruise Satan under your heels shortly. See, because the power that God is making available, he says he will put Satan in check. He never told you to. I understand binding and loosing. Got that. But I'm binding from a position of love, not a position of revenge. Most of the time, I can remember before I got these concepts, my binding was a constructed by revenge. I need for them to stop whatever they're doing. If I want them to stop what they're doing, then I should go ahead and do what the Bible tells me. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into that name, that place, and they are safe. Okay? I can stop the enemy from attacking because I'm in the strong tower. He didn't say it was a weak tower. He said it was a strong tower. And people that understand righteousness are found inside the tower. Oh, just so that I get this. If I'm inside the tower, my fighting is done because I'm safe. But if I'm functioning out of revenge, I probably will not be found in the tower. I will probably be found outside fighting. You do remember in 2 Chronicles 20:20, he started telling them things like, you don't need to fight in this battle because the battle is not yours. All you need to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord God who's with you. See, if I understand my purpose is the trigger to the power that God wants me to tap into. And that power that he wants me to tap into will always produce peace. You do understand that the peace of God is available so that your understanding is no longer necessary. The peace of God has the ability to pass your understanding. There is a peace that passes all understanding. In other words, my understanding was at round number 2, and the peace of God is standing at round number 10, and it's a 10-round fight. In other words, my peace is standing in the position of victory right now, but here I am battling at round number 2. I need to go and participate in the peace that goes beyond my understanding. This, beloved, is what's available to you. Your purpose promotes power or is the trigger to this power, and it always produces peace. You know, Jesus was in a storm, a couple of storms, and the disciples didn't get why he was sleeping in one of these storms. And they say, well, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus woke up and he said, peace, be still. Notice Jesus did not say, storm, be still. He did not say, waves, be still. He did not say, wind, be still. He said, peace, be still. That was a declaration that what he intended to keep and maintain was peace, because the peace of God passed understanding. The peace of God will bruise Satan. The God of peace will bruise Satan under your heels shortly. Jesus said, I ain't even got to fight in this battle. Peace, be still. And because that was stated, because that went into the atmosphere, it affected the winds, it affected the waves, it affected the thinking of the disciples. They said, what manner of man is this? We thought we were going to have to, you know, really roll up some, suck it up, and make some things happen. And this man commanded, and wind, waves, and all of the things that were bothering us stopped. And then Jesus asked them a question, because he's always teaching us. He doesn't do things to show off. He does things so that we can glean information from it. And he asked them the question. He said, how is it that you don't have any faith? How is it that faith that's already abiding in you doesn't work for the storms that face you? How is that? Those would be the questions that we must answer in 2019. The purpose promotes power and produces peace. God has always wanted to display his power on the earth through us. But if we are disconnected from his presence, then we can only presume outcomes. I want you to get that one. If we're disconnected from his presence, all we can do is presumed outcomes. We'll look out into the future and say, it's got to get better. I hope it gets better. But see, when I tap into the power that he wants to release in my life, it produces peace. Peace means that there will be nothing missing, nothing broken. See? So then I would be able to whatever the need, my God who supplies all my needs, glory to God. My God who supplies all of my needs, if I can allow the peace that passes understanding to be the thing that leads me, because it says that his people are supposed to be led forth with peace. Come on. I'm supposed to follow peace. And he said, I'm following this peace with all men. That would sound like when I'm in the middle of intense fellowship that I need to follow peace, because peace is going to cause me to be able to win, because my purpose to love will promote power that I need, and it will produce the peace that's necessary for me until the victory is developed in my heart. He can't do anything for me if he doesn't do anything in me. If I'm not going to allow God to produce peace on the inside of me, there will not be any peace on the outside, because if it were to come, it will be passing, because I didn't know how to stop the attack from getting on the inside. I would submit to you that it's the enemy that I got to deal with, not the enemy on the outside of me. I need to allow peace. Let peace woo. See, let the peace of God rule in my heart. That's an operative word. I have to let that be. If I don't, then Jesus is asking the same question that he asked the disciples. How is it that you have no faith? How did you allow yourself to get in a situation where all you see is demise? Where you come to me and threaten me, asking me, don't you care that we perish? Well, in that particular time, Jesus had already told them to cross over to the other side. So there was no doubt where they were going to end up. But here they go in their mind, because of the circumstances and a heart that was not functioning in the love of God, that was not allowing the peace of God to prevail, then they was looking at it as, this right here is going to be what will cause my demise. It cannot cause your demise, beloved. Love never fails. So if we're disconnected from his presence, we can only presume outcomes. And this makes us weak. This makes us have to walk in fears and frustration. When the scripture says they that know their God, they'll be strong and they'll do exploits, this knowing speaks of intimacy. This knowing, it speaks of having time with him where you have proved that he will not leave you or forsake you. That's not a guessing game. That's one of confidence. Your purpose promotes power and produces peace. But if I presume power, presumed power produces problems. Every time, all the time. You remember in Acts chapter 19, where the seven sons of Sceva, that whole thing where presumed power was in manifestation. I'll start in verse 11. It says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchief or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits put out of them. Then, because they saw this happen, certain of the vagabond Jews, who were exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by this Jesus that Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did this. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit had leaped on them overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. See, presumed power produces problems. The man thought they was going to be good over there, displaying something that was not on the inside of them. That's why I said your roots have to be stronger than your branches. What you have in reserve has to be stronger than the demand that's going to come upon you. It's going to come, beloved. So you have to have a strong root system. The word has to be on the inside of you. They should not see, okay, they should not see manifestations of the flesh when they come to you, because the love of God is what should compel you. If that's not what's happening, then we didn't get it too good. Okay? We didn't understand that in manifestation, love should be. And we said, well, no, I'm just going to let them see me. Well, if I'm going to let them see me, that's presumed power. I think I can make it. And your presumed power will always produce problems. Purposed power is proven by our participation, not by our solicitation. Purposed power is proven by our participation, not, oh, Lord, help me, our solicitation. So you're going to have to walk it out, beloved. When you are finding yourself in manifold temptations, tests, and trials, count it all joy. So you have to participate in this. Purposed power requires our participation, not our solicitation. That's one of the things I see often in the body of Christ, you know, that we'll pray your strength in the Lord. No, you need to display your strength in the Lord. If no weapon formed against you shall prosper, why are you mad because the weapon is there? I love this because it says very clearly that no weapon that's formed shall prosper. So in other words, when I see the weapon, it is in its optimum position if I know it can't prosper. No weapon formed can grow anymore. Okay? If you can see that. If I see the challenge, that's the end of it. It cannot grow anymore. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. Isaiah 54:17. See? If we would get that into our hearts, I'm not mad because they challenged me. When they challenge me, I just want to display the love of God that's already been shed abroad in my heart. That shows heaven that I'm trusting him to make the difference. That shows heaven, even the demonic realm, that they don't have a place. You know, Jesus made this statement. He said, the prince of this world cometh, but he does not have anything in me. See, Jesus' response showed the principalities that they don't have an entrance into his life. They don't have an entrance into the issues of his life. They always thought they did because they say, you know, well, we don't kill him. No, 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 Jesus said, you can't kill me. No, I lay my life down and I pick my life up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. See? The devil wasn't working nothing. God was working. It was a mystery that was hid in Christ. Because if they had known that this was going to happen after he was raised from the dead, the Bible says very clearly, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But they didn't know the mystery. And we have an invitation to know the mystery of God. Glory to God. We have an invitation to know the purpose of God. Because when you know the purpose of God, purpose promotes power, is the trigger for power, and it produces peace. But if I'm going to keep begging God to do something that he's already promised, then I'm not participating in the promise. I'm ignoring the, okay, there you go. You can write this down. When I go this way and I'm begging God to do something that he's already promised, he's already done, then I'm ignoring the promise and I'm paying attention to the conflict. I just want you to get that. See, I am glorifying the conflict. Please remember Jesus said the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come. Would you please look at me when the challenge comes your way? Because I am there. See? But we'll go back and talk to God on the basis of the problem. No, I need to talk to God on the basis of the promise. Because when I find out that he's given me promise, I will see the purpose in the promise, and the promise and the purpose produces power and promotes power and produces peace. Okay? I need to let the promise become active, and then the peace will be released. If I don't activate the promise, if I don't participate in the promise, then it will not produce peace. Generally, if I don't participate in the promise, it will produce more frustrations and fears, because now I'm going to be found to doubt the living God. I'm going to be found to, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, I'm going to depart from the living God. Okay? And God is calling us unto himself. And sometimes, as I go unto God, I'm going to have to go through things that I built, trouble spots that I knew how to get comfortable in. Okay? I know there are things that I've done habitually. That's because I built a comfort spot in that place. I didn't want the Lord to deliver me. I just wanted him to maintain my cause. I can make it, God. I'll be okay. No. I need for him to deliver me. And as he delivers me, I'm going to go from glory. I'm not going from glory to trial. Please hear him. He says I'm supposed to go from glory to glory. See? But if glory is not on my mind, if glory is not in my heart, then I'm simply going to go from glory to trial. And that's going to produce frustration in me. That's going to make me weak. See? And the devil knows that, and he can prove that that's what's happening. Remember, I said that purpose power is proven by our participation, not by our solicitation. Promise participants provide proof and give testimony. They provide proof. When Elijah was tempted on the mountain, he went into that situation and he said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to prove who God is. Y'all build your altars and then put water on them. No, he said, call down fire. First he said, call down fire of heaven. Y'all build your altars. Build things that you are accustomed to. He told him to build your altars. Okay? Build things you are accustomed to, the place that you're comfortable in. Go ahead and build that way. And then I will build an altar unto the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, we're going to let that be God. We just going to prove it. Because, see, if I am the child of God, I should have evidence. I should be able to prove it. And then he said, now, tell you what, since we're going to make sure that you know this is God, this ain't me, I want you to go ahead and fill the thing with water. Just completely drown the altar. Because this the God that's going to answer by fire is the one that's going to be God in our eyes. And he said, now, do it again. Put more water. Now, this is even more interesting to me because they did that in the time of drought. Water was very precious. But in order to prove to them that the word of God is more precious than what you think is precious, drown this thing in. And he says, now, do it one more time. And then he says, now, y'all go ahead and call upon the name of your God and do whatever you got to do. And they did it they gave them space about 4 hours. And then he said, well, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. He goes somewhere. And then he said, now I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and ask God to do. And the Bible says that God answered by fire. Not only did he consume everything there, licked up all the water. Why? Because those that participate in the promise, those should be able to prove the purpose for which God has called them to. See, promised participants provide proof and give testimony. They that know their God will be strong. They will do exploits. They don't talk about things they want to happen. They do exploits. The ones that are intimate with their God, the ones that know their God, they're the ones that do exploits. The ones that like their God, they simply make requests over and over, hoping that they'll be heard through their much speaking. Begging is not a part of sonship. A son inherits and walks in his authority. Sons don't just hope. They walk in it. They inherit it. It is tangible. You know, a cousin doesn't have the same ability that a son has. Although a cousin is in the family, and they might hang around the blessing, they don't inherit or they don't always initiate the blessing. Favor goes before the promise, and that favor draws me into that which God has already accomplished. I'll say that again. Favor goes before the promise, and then it draws me into the thing that God has already done. Because all of the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God. All of the promises have already been answered. They're not going to be answered. All of the promises are yes. They are amen, which means so be it. Okay? See, the favor of God, I see favor in the thing. He asks us and says statements to us that if you are willing and obedient, then you'll eat the good of the land. See, the favor is in front of me. I said, he said, if I am willing, and if I will do what's necessary to walk in the favor, if I'm willing and obedient, if I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord my God, then all these blessings will come upon me and they will overtake me. Because at the time he made the promise was yes and amen. You hear that in Galatians chapter 2, when it says that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. See, the promise, the favor is in front of the promise. And it draws me into that which I need, that which I want. And then now the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I didn't have to do it. Please hear that. He said, I live this, my life now, the way I live it. I live it because he's already proved it. I live it by faith in him. I live it by faith because he's done it in front of me. I see it in his word. I just like for you to remember that God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let's just quickly get over and look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Very familiar passage of scripture for some of you. It says, verse 2. I'll start with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Okay, I want you to know that. That this passage is written for those that have, past tense, obtained, past tense. Well, I'll say that. I see that. Those that have would be perfect past tense. Huh. Okay? Because had obtained with the everything in the past tense, but I'm actively obtaining this right, precious faith through the righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Those that know that God will be strong, they will do exploits. And of Jesus our Lord, according, because of this knowledge, according to his divine power. I told you that power. Purpose promotes power and produces peace. We're trying to tie it there so that you will enjoy victories this year. According as his divine power hath, past tense again, giving unto us all things, not some things, all things that pertain unto life. I'm glad God took life first. He could have put God in this first, and then I would say, well, I'm just trying to live godly. No, he told you to live first. Live first, because if you understand that the promises of his power will give you everything that you've already wanted to get. Past tense. And it goes to the place where you will get this understanding through the knowledge of him that has called you unto virtue and knowledge, glory and virtue. He's called you there. Wait, I'm sorry. Did you see that, beloved? He doesn't want you to visit virtue. He doesn't want you to visit glory. He doesn't want you to have a glory spurt. He wants you to live there. He called you unto it. Glory to God. He's asking for you to make that your abode. See, but when I get frustrated and allow the enemy to dupe me and I operate out of the flesh, then I'm not abiding in the place where he called me. He called me to glory and virtue. Because of this, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Glory to God. He said that I'm giving you more than enough. Remember, your root structure has to be stronger and wider and more prevalent than what you display. You're supposed to have exceeding great. The pressure that you're going through in your life, whatever the challenge is, it might be great pressure. That's okay. He's giving you exceeding great and exceeding precious promises, that by these promises, by this power of exchange, you might be partakers of the divine nature. God is asking us to participate in the divine nature. I understand a lot of times people will say that the divine nature is only pertaining to those that operate all the holy things. No, a divine nature has been given by a divine plan, a divine purpose, a divine calling. It's not just for a divine display. Okay? I want you to get that. That the things, when the idea is formed in God's mind, it is divine then. When it is executed by you, it still would be divine. It didn't stop being divine because you did it. He's inviting you so that you can think his thoughts, so that you can purpose to do what he intended for you to do, so that you can live above the evil that's in the world. Not have to go through the evil to get to a victory. Unfortunately, that's kind of the way we've looked at this. We said, okay, after I get through with this, I'll end up in victory some kind of way. In the great by and by. No, please, you know the way God thinks. He tells you in Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what your fruit's going to be. You're not going to sow maybe and get positive. You're not going to sow negative and get an answer that's affirmative. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. I'm leaving it up to you. I have invited you into the divine nature. But if you're going to have separate knowledge, if you're going to forget that grace and peace has been multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, he did not say that the grace and peace comes through the trial. He said the grace and peace is going to be multiplied so that the trial is diminished. I hope you got that. Please see that. He said that the grace and peace is going to be multiplied so that the trial would be diminished, so that the trial will not wear you out and make you give up. But I'm going to cause the grace and peace to be multiplied because you have knowledge of God, not because you're telling God about your problem. Remember, participation, not solicitation. See, you have already been given this, beloved. Every scripture that we've studied was found in your Bible. I didn't come to your house and write that in your Bible. It was already there. Glory to God. See? So these are things that ever since the apostles caused it to be written by the Spirit of God have been available to us then. We didn't have to go through all the hell we've gone through up until this point, because he had grace and peace that was available through the knowledge of God that was multiplied so that the trial would be diminished. They were. According to the divine power that has already been given to us, that whereby we have been able to be a partaker of the divine nature, that we won't participate in corruption or lust. Lust is getting a thing done at the expense of others. Love is getting things done at your own expense. So then if I need you to stop messing with me, I'm going to grow up in the Spirit so that these exceeding great and precious promises would allow grace and peace to be multiplied so that the trial is diminished. I hope you saw the exchange there. See, I don't have to try to get God to minimize my trials. I don't need God to minimize my trials. He has given me grace and multiplied that grace by peace so that my trial would be diminished, not me getting God to make me bigger. We look at things a little bit different, okay? God has put in place a victory that you don't have to fight for. When man was first created, glory to God, he did not do anything by the sweat of his brow. That came as a result of the curse. And Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. So that means I don't have to live by the sweat of my brow. I don't have to fight for it. I can learn to receive it by faith. See, he told me that I'm supposed to fight the good fight of faith, not the good fight of flesh. And if I would go and allow the word of God to be built up or do what it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 33, and not verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them who are sanctified. It didn't say build you up and make you fight for an inheritance. It said build you up and give you one. He has to build you up so that your thinking is different, so that you will put yourself in a position to receive. But that's not what we do. We generally try to get it on our merit, so then we're going to go earn it. And grace is not there for the earning. Grace is there for receiving. And if you will allow grace to flow that way, he will multiply that grace by his peace, which passes your understanding. I don't even know how to make it work. It's out beyond what I understand. It's in the area of the knowledge of God. Beloved, we've got to understand that purpose promotes power, and it produces peace. In the year 2019, we can't do the same old thing warmed over, struggling and trying to make it. When we understand purpose, then we would understand what God is wanting to do to affect change in our life. Purpose never changes. The power never fails. The peace passes my understanding. There's nothing the enemy can do about that. He's called me to the place where I can enjoy his glory manifest in my life. When we understand purpose, we then do. We execute. When we're only excited by purpose, we try to pursue it. God is wanting us. He's wanting you to live in the place where victory abides, where faith is alive, where purpose is understood,
And purpose promotes power and produces peace. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for your word. Thank you for new opportunities that you've given us as 2019 starts, that we can walk in purpose, that we can begin to look for purpose in our life through the promises of your word. Because every promise will cause purpose to be clear, will cause purpose to be understood, and purpose will then promote power, and that power will produce peace. And we will be led forth with that peace into victory. We will be led forth into glory, unto glory, so that you will be the one that is glorified by a life that's pleasing unto you. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right, folks. Pastor Steve, I actually got to call Brother Emmett back, so we're going to go ahead and end the broadcast now.
Okay.
So for those of you out there listening, we're not going to have time for a question and answer, but we would like to thank you for tuning in and listening to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard, please sow a seed here at www.livedeliverance.com. There you can hit the donate button, and there you can freely give as you freely receive. Thank you, Father, for this teaching. Thank you, Pastor Steve. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.